Again, maybe you just didn't have the nerve. It was dark, but I caught the quick flash of Quirinbach's grin. I know your background, Mirabelle. We all do. You were pretty good once back on Sky's Edge. Trouble was you just didn't know when to pack it in. If I'm so washed up, why the special attention? Because you're a fly, Voronoff said. Sometimes they need swatting. The vehicle readied itself as we approached, a door opening in one side like a drooling tongue, plush steps set into its inner surface. A pair of heavies shadowed the door, packing indecently large weapons. Any lingering thoughts I had entertained of resistance vanished at that point. They were professionals. I had a feeling they wouldn't even allow me the dignity of jumping over the side, that if I tried it, they would put a pair of slugs in my spine on the way down. "Where are we going?" I asked, not sure if I really wanted to know the answer, or if I could even expect an honest reply. "Space," Quirinbach said, "for a meeting with Mr. Ryvich."
"Space?"
"Sorry to disappoint you, Mirabelle, but Ryvich isn't in Chasm City at all. You've been chasing shadows."
Chapter 33. I looked at Zebra. She looked at me. Neither of us said anything. The vehicle into which the heavies escorted us had the reek of newness, leather trims, sweating sumptuousness. There was an isolated rear compartment with six seats and a mound-like central table, with soft muzak filling the air and elegant neon designs worked into the ceiling. Voronoff and one of the heavies sat opposite us, weapons still at readiness. Quirinbach and the other man entered the front compartment, visible only as smoky shadows through the partition. The car rose smoothly, with a soft snicking from the roof arms, like someone crocheting at great speed.
"What did he mean, space?" I asked.
"A place called the Refuge, one of the high orbital carousels," Voronoff said. "Not that it makes any real difference to you. I mean, it's not as if you're just tagging along for the ride, is it?"
Someone had mentioned Refuge since my arrival in the city, but I could not quite place the reference.
"What happens when we get there?"
"That's for Mr. Ryvich to know, and you to find out. You might call it negotiation, but don't expect to take too many bargaining chips to the table, Mirabelle. From what I hear, you're all cleaned out."
I've still got a few surprises up my sleeve, but I sounded about as convincing as a drunk tramp boasting of his sexual prowess. Through the side windows I watched the hovering crystalline mass of Escher Heights recede, and, not inconsequentially, I saw the other car, the vehicle which did not belong to Zebra, unfurl its arms to maximum extension and commence following us at a polite distance.
"What now?" I asked, ignoring the heavy.
"Your game's up, Voronoff. You're going to have to find a new mode of pleasure."
"It isn't about pleasure, you idiot. It's about pain."
He leaned forward, imposing his bulk across the table. He looked like Ryvich, but his body language and manner of speaking was all wrong. There was no hint of a Sky's Edge accent, and his physicality would have been alien to Ryvich's aristocracy.
"It's about pain," he repeated, "because pain is what it keeps away. Do you understand?"
"Not really, but go ahead."
"You don't usually think of boredom as something similar to pain. That's because you've only been exposed to it in relatively small doses. You don't know its true color. The difference between the boredom you know and the boredom I know is like the difference between touching snow and putting your hand in a vat of liquid